Our reading from the first letter of John was indeed very short. It is the introduction to a letter addressed to a Christian community that seems to be unsure of itself. There have been squabbles among the leadership, and some folk have left. And so the letter writer has written because he wants the readers to be sure and reassured that they are God's children. Although this letter is entitled the first letter of John, it's actually unclear if John, the gospel writer, was indeed its author. It would be just like John not to draw attention to himself by not making it clear that he was. And certainly the letter is written claiming a first-hand testimony of Jesus' ministry. We will never be sure, and certainly academia has never solved the mystery. But as with other writings in the Bible, it's the message that is the most important thing. And if we're to understand the Bible as a text relevant to us today, then our task is to discern what this letter says to us in the here and the now. And over the next few weeks, we'll be taking a closer look at other sections of this first letter of John. The Bible is a phenomenal book. It is indeed timeless, and it never fails to blow me away with the way that it speaks to us in the here and now. Words written, spoken nearly 2,000 years ago, speaking directly into our lives, our world. That is the power of the Bible. And so the opening words of this first letter of John proclaim to us the witness testimony of the letter writer to its recipients, but also to us. This letter begins with a, "We were there, we saw it with our own eyes, and we want you to share our joy." Eugene Peterson in The Message translates these verses as, "From the very first day we were there taking it all in. We heard it all with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in most sober prose that what we witnessed was incredible. This, the infinite life of God himself, took shape before us. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy." Our faith should be a source of joy, something that brings joy, comfort, hope, peace, and so many other gifts. If, like me, you watched the royal wedding last Saturday, you too may well have been blown away by the incredible sermon preached by Bishop Michael. He spoke with a real passion, real enthusiasm, real joy at the message of the good news. And I have this idea that Bishop Michael had realized that he had the moment of his life to preach to the biggest congregation he would ever have, i.e. the world. And he took that opportunity. And he preached with the same enthusiasm as the letter writer to a world that needs to hear the message of love to be found in the Bible. The message that love appeared as a human being in Jesus Christ. That love hung on a cross for us. Bishop Michael put it this way. He didn't die for anything he could get out of it. Jesus did not get an honorary doctorate for dying. He didn't. He wasn't getting anything out of it. He gave up his life. He sacrificed his life for the good of others, for the good of the other, for the well-being of the world, for us. And he preached that love has the power to make the world a better place if we make love the way. I don't have Bishop Michael's exuberant preaching style, and so I was very tempted to give you the whole text of his sermon. I won't. I will, however, return to Bishop Michael and have a few more quotes from him today and over the weeks to come, because I think that his words were very relevant to our text and relevant to how we should be walking this path that we call faith. And I will encourage you, if you can, to try and access a copy of the full text, or even better, watch a video of the sermon. But back to today. There's a suggestion that this letter should be read as a companion text to the Gospel of John. Another hint that perhaps the Gospel writer and letter writer are one and the same. In John's Gospel, the opening chapter contains verses at 14 to 16, these words. The Word became a human being and full of grace and truth lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. John spoke about him. He cried out, "This is the one I was talking about when I said he comes after me, but he is greater than I am because he existed before I was born. Out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another." They may well sound familiar. Another witness testimony. John's Gospel emphasized Christ's divinity. The letter of John is almost a rediscovery of the importance of his humanity and the Jesus who is proclaimed as the Word of Life and whose life character and teaching are as important to the life of faith as his divinity. The letter begins, as we've already noticed, with a witness statement like those from the verses in the opening verses of John's Gospel. There's a sense of urgency in them, a sense that this is the way it was and is. This is an invitation to enter the story of Jesus, the Word made flesh, the Word of Life. And I think that is how Bishop Michael approached his sermon last Sunday. I've got this one chance, and boy, am I going to take it. The opening words of 1 John are an invitation to enter the story of Jesus, the Word made flesh, the Word of Life. One that we have accepted by stepping over the threshold of this church building. Each time we enter here, we enter a space where we worship and we learn together about the love that God has for each one of us. And yet we know that the invitation for us to enter this space is not exclusive. We're not part of some exclusive club that keeps some out while welcoming others in. Indeed, the front page of our church website declares, whoever you are, whatever creed or colour, cultural background or sexual orientation is yours, we want you to feel welcome in Cults Church. Whatever exclusive is, we are not it. In a fortnight's time, we have our weekend of invitation, a real opportunity for us to invite people to engage with us as a church community, an opportunity to extend the welcome and say to folks, come, be our guest, all are welcome. Because we have a good news story to tell. It is a story of restoration. It is a story of love. It is a story of joy. It is a story of peace. It is a story of hope. A story we can all enter into and find a home. There is a place for everyone. God's love is big enough. Quoting Bishop Michael again, think and imagine a world where love is the way. Imagine our homes and families where love is the way. Imagine neighborhoods and communities where love is the way. Imagine governments and nations where love is the way. Imagine business and commerce where love is the way. Imagine this tired old world where love is the way. When love is the way, unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive. When love is the way, there is no child who will go to bed hungry in this world ever again. When love is the way, we will let justice roll like a mighty stream and righteousness like an ever-flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty will become history. When love is the way, the earth will be a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields down by the riverside to study war no more. When love is the way, there's plenty good room for all of God's children. Because when love is the way, we actually treat each other well, like we are actually family. When love is the way, we know that God is the source of all, and we are brothers and sisters, children of God. And that's what we're inviting people to come and find out. We are the family of God here in this place. The Church of Scotland, as a representative part of God's family, is facing huge challenges, declining membership, aging congregations, and a dearth of families. And it's all a bit doom and gloom. Except it's not. Because, and I've said this already and I'll say it again, because we have a good news story to tell. It is a story of restoration. It is a story of love. It is a story of joy. It is a story of peace. It is a story of hope. A story we can all enter into and find a home. There is a place for everyone. God's love is big enough. This last week, the Church of Scotland met in General Assembly. One of the main themes coming out of the week was the urgent need to take a good hard look at ourselves as a church and to try and come up with a vision for the future. The Council of Assembly had written what they were brave enough to call a strategy. The Council of Assembly are the heads of each of the church councils that come together. If you like, they're the heed bummers. But they were told to go away by the Assembly. They were told to go away and come up with a strategy that was radical. That the proposed plan with its 10-year length was not what was needed. Time was running out. We need to be radical now, was the message that they were given. And I should warn you that it wasn't just the Council of Assembly who have been told by this week's commissioners to be radical. Presbyteries in their presbytery plans have been also instructed to be radical. And Kirk Sessions have been told we have to have conversations about what the decline in the church means to us and how we might help address it. But can I tell you that far from doom and gloom, I'm excited about the future. Excited to be part of a church that wants to be radical. Excited to be part of a church that still sees its own relevance. Excited to be part of a church that takes its mission seriously. Excited to be part of a church that cares about the world we live in and the people that we share it with. Excited to be part of a church that is willing to look up and out at the world. Excited to be a church that sees the worth in each of God's children. John, or whoever wrote the letter, gives us a strategy for the future. It is to invite others to join with us in the fellowship that we have with the Father and his own Son, Jesus Christ. This is what we're about, is it not? A place of invitation, a people of invitation, inviting folk in to get to know this God and this Jesus that we love. Jesus who taught us to love and showed us what happens when love is the way. And so I hope over the next few weeks you will take your invitations and share them. Invite others to come along and be our guests. You never know, they may want to stay. Amen.
Thank you.
Please join me as we come to God again in prayer. Generous God, thank you for the wonders of the universe. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through nature and through flesh and blood. We are created in your image, and each one of us reveals something of you to the people we meet. Each person we meet also reveals something of you to us. We are sensitive, fragile beings. We need shelter and food. We need warmth and water. The world provides for all our needs, and yet so many do not have what they need because some people refuse to share, or because some people choose to make a profit, or to use fear of violence to withhold the needs of the many. Lord, in your mercy, help us to change this. Science and technology are making amazing discoveries every day, and yet profit seems to come before common sense and the well-being of all people. Lord, in your mercy, help us to change this. There are more souls on the earth than ever before, and yet people feel more isolated than ever. Promotion of fear leads to lack of trust, which leads to more isolation and loneliness. Lord, in your mercy, help us to change this. May we use the gifts you have given us to share with people, to enable people, and to treat people with fairness and equity. Lord, in your mercy, help us to change. Amen.